Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know, especially given what happened last year and going through this offseason, you know, that was my goal. You know, I wanted to be there, let other people do my job and pick up my slack for long enough. So, you know, it was a gut punch. You know, like I said, when we were in that meeting, I said, the only thing that hurts is my ego, and that doesn't matter. So,
of course, he underwent out in Los Angeles yesterday, Tommy John surgery. He will be out for, well, at least 14 months. Seems to vary when guys are back, 14, 15 months. So you're probably putting it somewhere around May, June, July of next summer, second half of the season, when you will see Chris Sale pitch for the Red Sox. So we're discussing, should he have had the surgery? Now, we've already been able to establish that he was within his rights to do it because in California, they are still doing some elective surgery, but there's no law against it. There are now in 28 states and counting, and they're adding states by the day. So he had the right to do it, but should he have done it? I mean, the optics, could he have waited 4, 5, or 6 weeks? It would have delayed him by 4, 5, or 6 weeks to when he would come back and pitch. Eddie is in a car next up here on EEI. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Glenn, how are you? Listen,
good,
you really,
Eddie,
don't know what it'd be 4 or 5 weeks. It could be 8, 10, 12, 14 weeks. And here's the problem I would have. If you had gotten the surgery done in Florida or Massachusetts or even a city like New York where all hell's breaking loose, you would have probably a better argument. But right now, there's really nothing going on. He's chilling. Right now, I'm actually
working.
There's
nothing going on.
If you're somebody, but hold on. If you're somebody right now that's not working, you're out of work because a lot of people are out of work, if you have an opportunity to get this done, why not get it done? To me, it's a no-brainer, Glenn. And I don't fault this guy at all. I mean, and you know what? Let me go a step further. Considering the lack of pitching he's pitched over the last couple of years, you know what? Ship him out to California and let's get him fixed as quick as we can. And you know what, Glenn? They didn't have to push a guy out of the bed. They didn't have to pull a mask off a guy and prevent someone from getting into the hospital that had the corona. That's not what happened. So just stop it.
Stop it. I didn't have to say a word during that entire conversation. Eddie just buried himself.
That was good.
Might be the dumbest thing I've heard in I don't know how long. He's like oblivious to what people are going through right now. Totally oblivious.
I don't know if anybody is.
I know, but it's
totally oblivious.
Just because you decide to, you know, run the risk of getting the surgery, dealing with the backlash, doesn't mean you're oblivious. I think it actually means you. He's willing to go through it and deal with the backlash. It doesn't mean he's oblivious. He actually is pretty much Curlin or Job that said, listen, under the circumstances, we only do a 90% shutdown. And, you know, most of the time, I'm only doing this because of him. And I know I'm going to get backlash. The doctor says that. So that you don't think the doctor that? Okay, it's fine. So you don't think, this was a conversation that Chris Sale was going through? So don't say that he's oblivious. He knows damn
Chris
well
Sale
what he's
was
doing.
Oblivious. I said Eddie in the car was oblivious.
Chris
Sale gets this. As I said in the last segment, it would not surprise me at all if Chris Sale comes out and does something to help some of the people that he might have pushed aside a little bit, okay? He's going to do that. Would not surprise me, and you guys agreed to me, because this is a guy who gets it. But I'm reading out of the Globe today. Restrictions on elective surgery are driven by several public health concerns, among them the preservation of personal protective equipment and ventilators to manage the COVID-19 pandemic. Okay, they're moving them around from hospital to hospital, and they are part of the Cedars-Sinai, which you probably know better than all of us, Christian. They're moving this stuff around because of the COVID-19.
Okay, so you're let me just add to it real quick because you mentioned PPEs, right?
Yes.
Personal protective equipment. Okay, correct. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah.
So the medical, the possible exposure of medical personnel to the coronavirus. So they're dealing as limited as they can with people at these other centers because we know the COVID-19 is there. Not just through a patient, but also through family members or friends who could transport a patient to the hospital. And there's also a desire to allow as many medical personnel as possible to help with the pandemic itself. So out there at this hospital, they're moving the medical personnel to other hospitals.
Yeah, I know, but Elitrosh isn't being moved, correct? Dr. Andrews isn't.
You have more than a surgeon going to do surgery.
I understand.
Not one guy.
I'm sure it's like somewhat of a you know, it's bare minimum of what
he
needs. It's what he bare minimum of what he needs. And again, if the argument is the state of California, okay, is not coming down hard enough on this elective surgery, then you know what? Fine, you have an argument. You know, maybe other states. You said not every state is doing it, right? Half. I don't even know what the number was, but if the states don't make it illegal to have elective surgeries, then maybe the criticism should go to the state.
Well, California,
but if you're finding
a
state that's allowing them, then I think you go and have it done.
I never said he was not within his right, and he might have done it quickly.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a difference from him having the right, the legal right. But California is contemplating making changes in that law right now, and that may have forced it to be done yesterday and not wait, because they might have talked about waiting around for a few weeks, and they were probably fearful they were going to take away elective surgery in California because it's the right thing to do right now.
See, I would say, you know, you have a good point, Glenn, because what I was getting to was, like, you mentioned PPEs, and that's personal protective equipment. That is what is in, you know, low supply for all hospitals, because a lot of them are not reusable. The mask, the gowns, the headgear, the stuff that goes over your shoes, the gloves, like it's full body, like a jumpsuit almost. Now, these things are rationed because they can't get enough of them. Like, hospitals cannot get enough of them. I was actually on a call today with a hospital, a local hospital, I'm not even going to mention their name, and they mentioned how they're going out into their network trying to find people who know people who can get these things, because, and they'll pay for them, they can't get a hold of them because they're in such supply. So if a guy gets an elective surgery with, ultimately, this is what this is with Chris Sale, then I can understand how people would have an issue with it. Because a nurse would go without, would not be able to wash it, would maybe they would have to wear it longer than they should, put themselves in danger. I get it. That part I get.
Christian, I'm looking at quotes here in numerous stories by doctors who are saying that ethically this is not right now, including your buddy, Thomas Gill. Okay? He does not think it's right now. And there are many others that are saying the same thing. They have a better understanding of what's going on right now in
the heat of the war, he's not a fan of the Red Sox. He doesn't like the Red Sox.
Go to yeah, Doug. I want to see this. He's a nurse. I want to see what Doug is.
Doug's in a car. Hello, Doug.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Glenn, I think you're so far off the mark, and I couldn't agree more with Christian on this and as Lou. I work in the ER. My wife works in the ICU. Our hospitals are shut down for elective surgeries. We've expanded our PACU rooms, which are post-anesthesia units, and preoperative units for overflow. And it would be shut down in L.A. if they were in the same situation we are in. What you don't consider or don't realize that these hospitals that are shutting down elective surgeries, and they're going to be really strapped for cash when this is all done with. This is where the hospitals are making money, and I don't want to make this, and I know it may come across as I'm trying to say this is all about money, but that's not the case. You know, Christian Sale, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If someone found out he could have had the surgery and he didn't get it done because no one knows how long it's going to last, then you're going to say, well, he should have had it done back, you know, on March 31st or whenever he had it done.
That's a legitimate argument on his side. And as I said, if he waited 3 or 4 weeks, there's the possibility he couldn't get it done at all because California might have, changed the laws so that you could not have elective surgery. But I'm reading out of the Institute, okay, the hospital's website. We are only available in person to evaluate and treat urgent and emergent issues. They have cut down all of their elective surgery. They're doing a tiny bit of it for emergencies. So you tell me, you're a nurse. You tell me, is this an emergency?
So I don't know what the website says. I'm going to take your word for it. But this is how he makes a living. This isn't like me going in and having elective knee surgery. This is his livelihood.
Doug, so you're missing the Doug, you're missing the point. If you go in and you get sick right now and this pandemic becomes worse and they have to lay off because there are so many people that are sick that are in the, that are medical care workers right now, then your livelihood is in serious trouble. This guy is guaranteed $145 million. The livelihood argument is moot. It does not work. You could sit there and say he may not be able to come back and pitch for another 2 or 3 months. It might extend when he comes back. That's legit. But the livelihood debate does not work. He's guaranteed $145 million.
I think it's easy for you to say that because you're not in his position, or you're not.
It's fact.
No, you're not seeing it.
No.
Well, the money's a guarantee.
You're not in his position.
It's fact.
You're not a pitcher. It's not. You had to have surgery for your vocal cord, and
yes,
you couldn't
point.
Work without it, you would probably say, "I'm going to get it done."
Doug, good point. I'm not debating that. I'm debating what you just said, that it was a livelihood situation. It is not. The people that are being denied right now, a lot of other operations, elective surgery, those are people that are construction workers. They're teachers. They do other things. They may be nurses like you, and they can't get it, and they're going to lose their livelihood. And they're not making $145 million.
No, listen, you're right about the money aspect of it. But if the state of California is doing elective surgeries, then it's not like he's the only one that kind of flew in, got this done, and left, and the only one in the state that's doing it. If they're doing electric surgeries, other people are getting it done as well, whether it's a job or whether it's some at the hospital or whatever it is, because the state of California is allowing them.
Be a good
We're
question.
We're just in a different state. You think he's the only one in the state getting this done?
It would be a very good question to ask how many surgeries they've done at the Curlin Job Institute this week. That'd be an interesting question.
Well, I mean, if the state
of
California is still doing elective surgeries, do you think he's the only one still doing it? They're still allowing it.
No, I'm already reading, Lou, that there are very few being done, and they're talking about shutting down elective surgeries.
Tommy John's.
Shutting down elective surgery, all elective surgery in California. They're probably going to do it in the next few days. My guess is that played into the decision between the Red Sox and Sale and El Attach. Yeah, because they looked at it and said, if we wait, guys, we may not be able to get that surgery because California is going to cut it out. That was probably why they did it yesterday. David is in Weymouth. Next up on OMF.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good,
I was calling to reel on Eddie and someone earlier, but Doug being a nurse, I'm an operating room nurse. I'm a little shocked that Doug thinks that those masks that were used out there, those gowns that were used, is Doug willing to give up his wife's mask so Chris Hill can have a surgery done? Is Doug willing to take masks away from the nursing assistants, the people cleaning rooms, the people delivering food and transporting patients? And you might think it's only 5 or 6 or 8 masks that were used in the room. Did they use N95s and they're not telling anyone because they had them? The cost of the plane ride. If you travel to Florida, it's a 2-week quarantine. Did he have to wait 2 weeks in quarantine when he got to California? The bottom line is here, guys, his money let him get this done and his privilege. And that speaks volumes, that he used his privilege to get this done in this situation. I mean, the cost of the flight, could that plane have flown sick people somewhere? Could the money and the fuel... You know, Doug and these people that think this is nothing, I know what I deal with every week. My wife's waiting results on a test. She's a healthcare worker. I know the afraid and the scared, and I know what's going on. And even because they could. And it's even worse to say that, oh, they knew the rule was coming, and the surgeon and the doctor even said, we talked about it. Where's his ethics? Where's his ethics in this? Because if I needed Tommy John surgery as a nurse...
What do you mean the doctor and the surgeon talked about it? Like Glenn just said they're thinking about it. I don't know where that's from. I haven't seen anything about that.
He said they discussed the optics, and they discussed if this really needed to be done and if it was good or not.
He asked Dr. Elitrash because he wanted assurance that it would not place any burden or anyone suffering because of the coronavirus. In the state, and I know what's going on here, David. Believe me, I'm very sympathetic with what you're dealing with and what everybody is dealing with and what everybody is going through. But evidently, the criticism should go in the state of California for still allowing them, correct?
The criticism should go in the state of California, but very much so. There comes a point through this whole situation where human beings, human first. Chris Seale, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I think he's going to regret this decision in hindsight. I think he's going to regret this in hindsight because I know personally, because he used his privilege in a situation like this, that if I needed Tommy John surgery to get back in the OR, if the guy who loads the planes needed Tommy John surgery to continue his job, he wouldn't be able to fly out to California. So $145 million guaranteed where he doesn't lose a paycheck?
All right. I get it. He does not lose a paycheck. That is the livelihood argument doesn't work. I will say this, and I'll repeat it. I think Sale's going to recognize that there is some backlash to this, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he does something down the road. All right. We'll get to more of this a little bit later on. A little bit later on also, the three biggest haters of Tom Brady during the Tom Brady era. And one of them is actually going to join us. Okay, we're all three of us are going to pick our three, but I think we're unanimous that one guy.
It's a
makes
good
all
sound
three.
Too to go through.
He makes all three
the years,
lists. No question about it. Coming up next, the National Football League has expanded the playoffs. It's for real, and it's going to happen this year. If we actually have a season, we have added playoff games. We're going to get into it and more with you at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
It's Brady Week on EEI. Tune in every day at 8:30 a.m., 12:30, 4:30, and 6:30. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
It's all brought to you by Shaw's Grocery Delivery. Great these days. You can use it. Enjoy Shaw's Grocery Delivery, powered by Instacart. Now it's fresh, fast, and delivered right to your door. Order online at shop.shaws.com or download. It's easier. Just download the Shaw's Rush Delivery app.
Well, guys, earlier this afternoon, Governor Baker extended the stay-at-home advisory and the closure of non-essential businesses. That is going another month through May 4th.
Kind of makes sense, right?
Yes, it was going through April 7th.
It seems like the date right now. It was like April 7th. That was just a matter of time. He's adjusting that.
Right, it's a two-week thing. Now is going until May 4th, according to Governor Baker. Guan, you just mentioned the NFL clubs have officially approved the expansion of the postseason, so one additional team from each conference will make the playoffs, bringing the total up to seven. Interesting note here. In that announcement, one of the extra wildcard games will be broadcast on CBS, as well as Nickelodeon.
What?
Nickelodeon will have an NFL broadcast geared towards a younger crowd.
That's right. Nickelodeon.
Feed it to the kids.
Interesting there. Sure. It is now official.
Hold on. Here's my my gut feeling on this one.
The kids going to be pissed. What show was supposed to be on?
Rerun of SpongeBob.
Gronk, this is Gronk's opportunity right now. Perfect for Gronk. Wouldn't it be perfect?
That
analyst
would be good.
On the Nickelodeon broadcast.
That would be good. It is now official, guys. No need to worry. Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback Tom Brady is officially wearing 12 next year. Chris Godwin will wear 14. He's giving it over to Tom.
How much did it cost?
Starting it off there. No official word. Undisclosed amount, I'm sure. Longtime golf writer Robert Lucetich says that Tiger versus Phil round two may soon be happening as a pay-per-view, but they will be playing with partners, and those partners for Tiger and Phil round two could be Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Yeah, would you guys buy a pay-per-view with Tom Brady and Peyton playing with Tiger and Phil?
Right now, I'd buy anything.
You'd buy it?
Are you kidding me? To watch golf? Yes.
Yes, you would.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think people might
absolutely.
End up buying it.
How can I bet on it?
Okay, but would you not rather have, like, comedians out there with these guys to liven it up a little bit?
Oh, it was boring last time. So boring.
But when you put athletes with other athletes, I'm sorry, guys, I hope I'm not insulting you. Isn't it going to be the Mutual Admiration Society? They're all going to rave about each other, right? Nobody's going to give us the behind-the-curtains real lively stuff,
I'll watch anything right now. I'm in.
Yeah, you're desperate.
Headline, Glenn Ordway calls Tom Brady boring. It's Brady Week here on WEI, brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Tom Brady's 20 years in New England. Brady Talk continues coming up next in the top three haters at 4 o'clock right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay. Hi, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. Well, the National Football League doesn't know whether they're going to have a season or not. Certainly, it doesn't look like we're going to have OTAs. We're not going to have spring camps, and we'll find out whether they're going to do a little practice during the month of July. But we're adding playoff teams. So the 2020 season is going to conclude with a 14-team playoff. The NFL owners voted for it today on a conference call. So here's how it works. You're going to have four division winners in each conference, as well as three wild card teams in each conference. The team with the number one seed will not only earn the home field advantage throughout the playoffs, but they are your only bye team now. So they will not play in the first weekend. And so you're going to have 2-7, 3-6, and you can go through the rest of it in each one of the conferences. You like it?
Go ahead, Lou. I'm looking for something.
You know, here's the thing. I like the seven teams, but what I don't like is the only one number one seed gets the bye. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to do it, whether you have to go to eight teams. I like six teams. You know, for the most part, what we've seen a lot of recently, and I know maybe last year wasn't the case, but, you know, one versus two. Because both teams who get a bye get a huge advantage, right? Not playing football for 3 weeks. They just basically win one game and you get in there. So if you get that bye and you're one of two teams, it's a big advantage. Now what you're saying is one team has an advantage over everybody else.
Yeah.
Huge advantage over everybody else.
Here's the only problem I have with that.
Regular season is worth something.
Yeah, but here's the only problem I have with that.
But then you've limited the excitement down the stretch. If you're sitting there saying, okay, the most important thing is getting a bye. Maybe you don't get the first one because the team runs away with it. You know, but that second bye is still there. You're still competing for that second bye. And it makes it interesting down the stretch. If there's like one team that runs away with it, you know, whether it's Kansas City or something, now you're sort of playing for what? Home field in the first round or second round. I don't know. Just I feel like at some point we're going to sit at the end of the season and say, yeah, I don't like this because what are we playing for right now?
So let's see. So just based on the AFC, so, right, so you're adding two teams from the AFC and two from
NFC.
Oh, sorry, one. So I'm trying to see who would have made it because Buffalo made it as Pittsburgh. A wild card, Houston. So Pittsburgh at 8-8.
They would have made it.
Is your playoff team.
Correct.
I mean, I guess that's my point. Do you need it? You don't need it.
They need it.
An 8-8 team, they're 8-8 for a reason. They're not 10-6 with a couple knuckleheaded plays that is a really good team. They're 8-8. It's a crap team.
So you're
who
looking
wants
at,
to see crappy teams?
Because you're looking at competition. And the league's looking at it saying more money. So
well, I know they're looking at it as revenue. They just want more product. I get it. They're greedy hell. As right. Hell. Lou, will you do
That's
me a favor?
About.
Read to me those percentages of the teams that get in because the one that ends that has the lowest percentage, I think you'd be surprised, it is my favorite.
Well, okay, so the NBA right now, 16 of 30 teams get in. So that's 53.3% of the league make the postseason in the NBA. The NHL is at 51.6% with 16 of the teams involved. The NFL would jump to 43.7% with this new format. And baseball is still sitting there with 30%. Only 10 of the 30 teams. That's not high enough. They need to adjust that. 30% is too low.
I would agree with that.
You like that, though?
No, I think they should have more teams.
I personally 12
teams.
Love the way the NFL did it. right? You have a long season. It's already 17 weeks. You know, you have your best teams are playing. And I would say in a lot of situations, even under the old rules, you had crappy games. You just had teams, you had divisions that couldn't find a winner, and then they're 8-8, they're 7-9, or they're 10-6, barely. I mean, Buffalo was 10-6. That was a good team. Buffalo was a good team. They're not great. I mean, they had so many things that needed to happen, and they almost beat the Houston Texans. Almost. I just feel like they got it right. I feel like baseball, there's something about doing your job during the regular season and not getting in because nobody else is good enough. Everybody else is bad too. So you're the best of the crappy teams left over. To me, it's like you're just forcing them to play an extra week and nobody even wants to. So I don't know. I like the fact that they were right in that sweet spot where they just gave you enough and they always kept you wanting to come back for more and you always were still hungry when it was over. I feel like they had it right.
This is all about TV and TV rights and money, and that's what they needed. They needed more money in the pot, and so NBC came forward with a lot of money. CBS did, and as Tyler mentioned in the update, they're adding other networks right now, and my guess is that you're going to see some of this on digital as well, streaming, video streaming, because they're going to get them to pipe in and give some money as well. But I'm with you, Lou, and maybe Major League Baseball, if we have if we have a shortened season this year, is there anything against, because you look at most of the attendances at most games, especially when you're talking about April or September when kids are in school, and you're looking at 8,000, 12,000, 14,000. What's wrong with cutting the regular season down to 146, upping the rounds of playoffs that you have, and therefore those are far more attractive to the networks if you're trying to get TV exposure and TV bucks, right?
Yeah, you got to go to at least 12 out of 30. That puts you at 40%. You'd still be third. But I don't think you can go to the next step of 14 of 30. You know, So I think you go to 12 teams in baseball. And I think they will expand it. They're already talking about with a shortened season, they're going to expand it. One thing here, Christian, I saw this with Florio, and you were just talking about bad teams making the postseason.
Yeah.
So Florio had this article in Pro Football Talk. So if you went all the way back to 1990 and you made it a 14-team format, because in 90, I guess that's when they expanded to 12 teams. So if you went all the way back to 1990 and made it a 14-team format, you would have resulted in 60 more playoff teams. So of those 60 playoff teams, only one of them would have had a losing record. One of them. 15 of them would have qualified with a 500 record. That would have been 25%. So you'd had 15 more teams, and that's going back to 1990, of a 500 record. 44 of them would have a winning record at 73.3%.
Okay, so a winning record could be the LA Rams at 9-7.
Yeah, 9-7.
So you're 9-7.
73% of the teams, okay, if you expanded, are at least 9-7.
That's fine. So
25% are at 500, and only one team would have been under 500. 79,
so if that is the case, then listen, if you want 9-7, 8-8, okay, and you're just football, then fine. That you don't care, because 9-7 would have been. Just imagine, yet. So the Steelers that were 8-8 in the AFC, they would have made it in, and the Rams would have made it in because of the crazy situation that was going on in the NFC West with Seattle and San Francisco. So they were 9-7, and I would even say they were a decent 9-7. They were almost a little bit better than their record show. They were just in a really difficult. So in this situation, I'd say fine. But the Steelers, does anyone remember what the Steelers went through this year?
Yeah, I know.
How many different quarterbacks they had? How unbelievably crappy they were?
Finished with a duck.
I mean, again, yeah, so fine, you're a 9-7. So I think that stat is a little misleading
based on the fact that you have
a winning record. I mean, still 9-7.
I just don't
Giants
like the.
Were
I just
9-7
don't like,
when they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't like the one in.
There's always an outlier, Glenn. You know that. Right?
One team getting a bye. You know, and I know last year was different, but we had about 4 or 5 years in a row where the AFC NFC titles were basically 1 versus 2. Like it was like 4 or 5 years in a row, and you sat there and said, "Okay, you know, the one's got the advantage; they're at home, but both teams, you know, are sitting there saying, okay, we only played one game to get here." I think you have really skewed it to whoever gets that bye. That road to the Super Bowl is much easier than it used to be. Much, much easier.
For that number one seed.
For that number one seed. And, yeah, so now I wonder, a guy like Belichick, and he sits there, he looks at this team right here. You know, is it how long is the preseason last for him during the regular season?
Yeah.
Because he says, hey, 9-7 and we're in. Right. I just want to try to figure this thing out. You know, the first half of the season for 8 games, let's try to, you know, 4-4, 5-3, let's try to figure this thing out. So, you know, and he's almost punting on the number one seed. And I don't know. I just don't think it's good. I think it's nice to have two carrots out there to chase.
Well, and there's one thing, and we saw it this past year where New England was 12-4, Kansas City was 12-4, and they were fighting for the number two seed. And we went to the tiebreakers, right, for all of that. What happens if you're doing it with the number one seed? You get two teams that are 13-3, and one of them just happens to have, let's say, an easier schedule. Okay? And they just happen to win all of those games. So I agree with you. There's such a huge difference between getting a bye in that first week as opposed to not getting it. When you take one away, then it becomes, I think, much more difficult and much more of an advantage for that number one team. There's a major report today that the NBA, and it was the one sport that we thought had the best chance of renewing their season, picking up their season. And apparently there's some news out today that might mean the end of the NBA season. We're going to get to that and some other stuff. If you missed Scott Pioli earlier today, part of Brady Week, we'll let you hear some of that. Had some interesting things to say. We'll do all of that and more right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
For the last 2 weeks, after a lot of optimism, we've had a series of setbacks in Asia where they've had success in tramping down the new cases of the virus. And so it's disappointing, especially as we look to the future of the NBA and pro sports here. There's leagues across the world that are watching the Chinese and how they handle this, because they are ahead of everybody in dealing with this virus. The Chinese are aware that all of these eyes are on them. And the last thing that they want is to restart the league, have something set them back, and really do more damage. So the Chinese are being cautious, but we're now looking at probably more than 4 months before they can restart their league after shutting down in January.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN. What does that tell you if the Chinese now that were ready to start their basketball program? They had moved 20 teams to two different cities, and we're going to start playing, and it was a plan that the NBA was looking at and saying, maybe we can adopt this plan. What does it tell you that the Chinese are saying, no, we got to put this off for 4 months? It probably tells you they need 8 months.
Well, I would say this, because I was wondering when that 4 months started. And listen to the end of this, that cut you just played.
The Chinese are being cautious, but we're now looking at probably more than 4 months before they can restart their league after shutting down in January.
After shutting down in January. So are they talking about May?
No, they're talking about now, 4 months from now.
That's not what he said.
No, they shut down in January.
Yeah.
Now and they were 4 months. They were expecting to open up in the next couple days. And the announcement they made is they were shutting down for 4 months.
Starting right now.
I believe
yeah,
so.
They,
yes.
Yeah, because they already came back.
Yeah.
After this whole thing
they're
started.
They're in two different
in
cities right now, all the players.
So they kind of adopted a similar idea that we were talking about, like grab all the players, throw them in just two
bubble
locations.
Plan.
Yeah, so that way no one can get infected. You'll keep them safe. You'll quarantine them. You can still put the product out on the court, but no one will get sick. Well, obviously it didn't work. It didn't work because now it's almost like they need to start all over again. And I'm assuming, I don't know when their season started, if it's the same as the NBA, is wiped out, right? It is
so
completely, utterly wiped out.
Yeah. So there are a bunch of American players, including Jeremy Lin, Lance Stevenson. Oh, he'd be big over there. But those two guys are over there right now. They're actually in a 14-day quarantine because they have to do that before they can actually go with their team. But the huge issue over there in reading about this, asymptomatic carrier. That's what they're concerned with. It's not like anybody is showing the symptoms. Nobody is testing. What they're saying is if we start up right now, who knows? Somebody could be carrying it right now and not showing the symptoms and not testing positive, but a week or two or 3 weeks from now, somebody could suddenly have it, and then we wipe out the entire league.
So you're saying the virus goes dormant. It's not detectable via a test. So then you quarantine yourself, and then you come back. Next thing you know, if you already got tested, so you're not getting tested again. So now it's active, and you are contagious.
They don't know enough about this. So,
well, I'm saying this for a while. I mean, to me, what's going on in America is one thing, and what's going on in China and South Korea is something that could be even more important. You know, now that you've reopened everything, is there a second wave? And if there is, we're screwed, right? I mean, if there's that, everything is fine, the numbers are down. Now, whether you believe the numbers or not, countries that are reopening, the economy and people are, back to living their lives. In 3 weeks, are they shutting themselves down again because they saw that, there's another spike?
All you need is one guy to get it, though, right, Lou?
Yeah.
So should you be watching China for, as far as a roadmap?
No, because they got nothing. They still think 2,000 people died.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I was teasing a while ago, but I wouldn't believe anything that comes out of there. They're lying through their teeth. Doctors are going missing. It's like they're a communist country. It's weird. I don't get it.
Real communist.
A real communist country.
Totalitarian country.
You should watch, a country that is ahead of it, like Italy. That's the country I would watch that got hit hard, that made drastic changes, and everybody listened. And they're already starting to see numbers, come down, but they're not out of it yet. But they're definitely, looking at, a brighter side of the day now, as opposed to going back and starting all. Can you imagine if we did all this work? Because that's what it is. It's work. We did all this work, and everybody sacrificed. Everybody's losing their jobs, losing money, and then you have to start over again in July and go, my bad, another 4 months. School's not going to start till December. Can you imagine? So whenever I think of a situation like that, I'd just rather do 2 months more than have to add 6 months, 4 months from now.
But it might not be 2 months more, as the doctors have been telling us, until they come up with a vaccine. I mean, they're coming up right now with certain remedies that might be able to eradicate some of it. But until you come up with a vaccine, and we're a year plus away from that, how do you deal with it? So is it worse if the NBA decides that we've got nobody who's got it, we're going to operate the way the Chinese were planning on, we're going to do this bubble approach, we're going to go to two cities, we're going to quarantine everybody, all of the players, and then we're going to play these games, and we're going to see what's going on. But is it not worse if after 2 or 3 weeks, just one person comes down with the symptoms, they test them, and he's positive? Because you know what that means. He's transmitting it to a lot of other players.
But can we also say that just because China screwed it up doesn't mean that the United States will? Maybe we're doing a better job.
Thing.
I'm just saying, but overall, listen, there are some things, you're right, Glenn, that you just – and you can do everything right, but the virus is just ahead of you or unpredictable, and it is what it is. So, I mean, I guess you could do everything perfect and still be screwed and still look like you didn't do enough. My point is, just because China has to restart doesn't mean the United States will. I mean, that's I mean, maybe we have information than they do at the time.
But the NBA was following this plan with the Chinese. What they were doing is, this was the litmus test. We're going to watch China do it, because they started with this thing a lot earlier than we did here in this country. So we're going to watch and see how this thing works. Well, already China has stopped this thing. And you're right, Christian. They don't tell you everything that's going on over there. Certainly they're not telling the rest of the world, and it's been a major problem right from the start. So suppose it's a lot worse over there in China. Why are they suddenly stopping this?
I don't know if you saw that report about the urns that were stacked at some of these funeral homes. Now, they have reports. They have
trucks,
drivers. There's a photograph that reportedly showed 3,500 urns. Now, their reports, they said 2,535 people in Wuhan, okay, had died through coronavirus. Well, they showed a picture of 35 urns stacked at one funeral home. There's 8 different funeral homes in which these are stacked at. So they're saying, just by looking at it, it looks like it's about 36,000, 35,000 urns, much more than the 2,500 deaths that were first reported in Wuhan. Yeah, so you're not believing a damn word these people are saying right now.
No, but what does it tell you that a country that may not value life as much as we do is sitting there saying, we need to shut down this basketball right now for 4 months? If I'm the NBA and I was planning on doing the same thing,
I still don't view it that way. I still hear Winhurst and saying it's been 4 months. They were planning on coming back in the middle of May. They've sort of pushed that back now. And I'm seeing is that it's been 4 months. That's what he's talking about. They've lost 4 months of a season. Because they started back in January.
That's not the way I read it today. And Winhurst was on in the 1 o'clock hour, and he was a little bit more emphatic about this is a bad thing right now for the NBA, and it could close it down. It certainly is not good news if they're doing that, based on what Christian was saying. You know, you're dealing with it, and you, St. Lou, with the numbers. They're lying to us with these numbers. What does it tell you that the NBA is so quick
right now? This was Winhurst today, Tyler. You got that article?
Yeah, Winhurst wrote, the General Administration for Sport, the body that issued the government order, gave no timetable for its plans on when to lift the new restriction.
Yeah, so no timetable. I think he was just stating it's been out for 4 months. And that they've just sort of delayed what they thought was going to be a start of the season in mid-May.
Which I don't think it's been four months. It hasn't been 4 months, though, right? Since they shut it down, it's been like 2 or 3 months. I don't know.
February, March, April, May.
It's communist China.
It's been 4 months.
It's communist China. Okay. So who the hell knows what they're telling us? It's communist China. A little bonus from part of our Brady Week, if you missed it, with Dale and Holly today. Scott Pioli. Who worked here in, did I say Dale and Holly? Dale and Keith. I'm sorry,
get
Rich.
You out of the house.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Rich. I'm cooped up in the house.
Wow.
Here. Sorry, Rich. It is Dale and Keith. They're excellent. They're on midday. You should listen to them. 10 to 2 every day. But Scott Pioli told a great story, because he was working with the Falcons during the Super Bowl that we all witnessed again on Sunday afternoon on Fox. And listen to what happened at halftime.
Before you left the Patriots after the 2008 season, there had to have been that aha moment. When do you think it happened for you?
In terms of him being the best, I always thought he was the best when we were with him. The aha moment of when
hold on, that's the wrong cut. We're going to play that cut in a second. But this was him at halftime with the Super Bowl down there in Houston against Atlanta.
Now, you weren't in the box when Arthur Blank said, "You know what? I'm going to go down to the field." Were you?
No.
Okay.
No, I was never in the box.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things I never did, even as, in my time in New England and my years as a Kansas City GM and as the assistant GM at the Falcons, I never was in a booth with the owner. It was just, I felt like there was always work to be done. And, so I always worked. But, and I'm going to share this too, all right, because I'm going to give this guy up. At halftime, I also got a text from a former Patriot who's a dear, dear friend of mine, Rodney Harrison, who texted me, and Erica and I are leaving. I can't take this anymore. Congrats.
Wow.
That son of a gun. And I said that was a kiss of death.
Rodney Harrison, huh?
Does he have a red jacket? So it's Rodney Harrison and Marky Mark in the same boat? I mean, at least Marky Mark has an excuse. His kid got sick, but
Rodney?
Well, we're going to have Rodney Harris on Thursday here this week.
What's going on? We got to get into that. No hope? I guess the other day we said, okay, when did we think it was over? So Rodney's halftime.
Yeah, halftime. Congrats.
Rodney's halftime. Yeah. He thought it was over. Let me get ahead of the traffic. Let me get the hell out of here. Yeah, he knows better. He knows not to. Pioli's seen too many come from behind victories to sit sure there has. And act like he's in safe territory, right. even at 28-3.
So he was here from day one of the whole Brady era. So when did he figure out this guy was pretty good?
You know, quick story. I'll never forget, and it's still I'm laughing about it, but it really I'm laughing over frustration. You know, at halftime of that game when we were up, I was in the booth with a number of people from the Falcons, you know, the high-ranking scouts and some other high-ranking front office people, and we had this little suite. At halftime, I was a wreck, you know, like I am in every game. And some of the people were celebrating, and someone made the mistake of saying to me, "Scott, lighten up, relax.
Oh, boy.
We're up."
Oh, no.
And they were kind of, you know, having a lot of fun and enjoying themselves, and something inside me snapped. I come from the culture. I was raised in the culture with Bill and Coach McPherson, where it's never over. And I remember turning around looking at the group of guys that were kind of yucking it up, enjoying it. You know, I won't say the word that I said because I'm not a big cursor, but I turned around and looked at them at that moment and said, "You effing people don't get it. That son of a gun on the other sideline wearing number 12 is Freddy Krueger, and he's coming back. It's just a matter of how many of us he's going to kill, and it makes it back all the way."
You are,
and sure enough, I mean, I can't believe, I feel like you guys are this is like therapy for me, but that's when I knew that he was the greatest of all time.
Freddy Krueger,
that's pretty good.
He's coming back. It's the question of how many people he's going to kill.
One, two, Tommy's coming for you. Three,
and whether
four,
he comes all the way
the
back,
door.
But he's coming. He's coming for you.
We and hell's this game coming with me.
It's just we watch a matter this game. Of how many of us he's going to kill, and it makes it back all the way.
We watched this game again on Sunday. Think about the opposite side. And we saw Arthur Blank and the wife there. But think about this. You're watching that game, and you're, you know, rooting on the Patriots side, and you're going, "Oh, my God, greatest comeback." But look at it from the other side. As this thing is totally imploding, and all of these different people that were affected by it. And by the way, the Falcons have never been the same. If you remember, people were talking about the Falcons were going to have this, maybe not a dynasty run, but they were going to have a nice little run, right? They had an MVP quarterback, had a really good offense, he had weapons, defense was getting better, linebackers were pretty damn good, right? They were going
to
have a run.
To me, it gets it, because where Pioli kind of came from, those guys he's talking about in that booth, they don't know. You know what I mean? They don't know kind of what it takes. They don't. They just think it's over. And Pioli's sitting there saying, "Do you realize kind of what's at stake? Is there any reason why we should be up here right now celebrating after one half
you
of good football?
People don't get it.
Like, you know, you know what's at stake? Like, you people are celebrating. Like, we won one half. Last I checked, we didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, we're up 28-3 with 2 minutes to go in the game. You guys can start yucking it up." But it's 21-3 at half.
That was a kiss of death.
Like, why would you start getting cocky and celebrating given everything at stake? It makes no sense.
Well, they were, though.
He gets it. They didn't.
Yeah, you could see it on the blitz on Ryan. Freeman picked up nobody. He was like dancing back there. He picked up nobody. I mean, in the fourth quarter.
That's not important. Someone else will get him. I mean, that's kind of the vibe it had. Oh, what? Oh, okay. It's not going to be that bad.
But that's what they were doing. It was like it was over because they were doing everything right in the first half.
That's me, Freddy Krueger. If Tampa. On the other sideline, wearing number 12 is Freddy Krueger.
If Tampa had any sense, if they want to do a hype video, this is what they do. They show Brady just carving people up and then using that soundtrack from Freddy Krueger.
Somebody he's right, going to kill.
Yeah, he's like, so he's been compared to a ninja, Freddy Krueger. That's amazing.
I think he called himself a river at one point, too.
No, he was the storm.
And
he
fire.
Was the storm
he's
and the fire.
That was
he's
a,
like
a that was
he's
a
like
good.
A Marvel. He's like all the Marvel comic, you know, superheroes.
That was one of his best hype
videos. How many of us he's going to kill, and it makes it back all the way.
Yeah,
oh, Jesus.
Well, which one? You said the one
the river
hype video.
Yeah,
when he does a little storm. Bomb. He's like, I am the storm.
I am the storm.
That was great, like, oh,
Jesus. See the way I tricked you right there? I tricked you. You thought I was talking about something else.
Has anybody done that yet?
There's a plot twist.
Has anybody done a documentary on the other side, the losing side, and how it all imploded? I mean, wouldn't you love to see that and watch how that played out? Because we're looking at the other side, and it's phenomenal. It's so entertaining, and it's like you're sitting there going, how is this possible? But from the losing side, where it's all falling apart for them, I would love to see that. This hour's been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. Well, there haven't been a lot of Brady haters over the years, but there have been some, and they have been loud. So coming up next, some of the Brady haters and some of the things they've said over the last few years, over the last 20 years.
We're going to rank them.
And we're going to rank them, and then we're going to hear from one of them. All coming up right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.